This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only nationally syndicated golf talk radio and television program. Presented by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
And good morning, Canada. Oh, Tiger, 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 you're tempting us again. Back issues for Tiger. Oh, that's the big news today. Sorry, all you Tiger fans out there. He's hurt again. We'll get to that and a lot more today. Manulife out at the LPGA. We've got the European Tour events going on over in, without Tiger. We've got a PGA Tour event going on in Phoenix. Lots to get to today. I am Bob Weeks, and welcome to another edition of Golf Talk Canada. Mark Sacchino is not in studio. Imagine that. He is somewhere, I'm going to say, Terminal 1. How's that?
You're right, Bob. Terminal 1 this morning. Man, the next 3 weeks is going to be weird. I'm going to be on the road the next 3 weeks in a row. You're going to be manning the fort. I'm trying to find the quietest place possible to jump in with you this morning here at Pearson. But, man, it is a zoo right near now. On my way to St. Kitts to support one of our new sponsors, St. Kitts Tourism Board, for the Admiral's Cup, big pro-am going on. So I'm going to go down, support them, and shoot some footage for our upcoming season of Golf Talk Canada, sir.
Okay. Now, you're going down there for work. And I just want to, before you respond to that comment, I want you to hear the forecast for today.
Okay.
In Toronto, -7 degrees right now as we're talking. There's blizzard warnings. There's wind chill factors. Not quite that part, but it is cold. It is -7 out there today, and you have to drag yourself down to St. Kitts.
27 degrees and sunny every day for the next week. It's Groundhog Day down there. But I won't rub it in too much, Bob, because you got to do Orlando, and I did it this year. So
That's true. I was in Orlando, and the weather was good there as well. I shouldn't complain. St. Kitts is becoming a very busy place for golf. Lots of notice. They're trying to get the word out that it's a place where you can come and enjoy the sunshine and the golf.
Yeah, and there's a Canadian connection, too, because, you know, we're just a couple of years removed from Tom McBroom going down there and developing and renovating, which is now Royal St. Kitts, which is going to be the first time I'm going to see that golf course this week. So definitely a Canadian connection. And they're building two more courses. And they have a course over at Nevis as well at the Four Seasons, which is supposed to be spectacular.
I've played that one. That one I've played before. It is spectacular.
So I've never seen either of these, so I'm looking forward to it. But they're building two more courses, and one of them is a new Fazio that will be open in 2018 that's going to be at like a five-star resort with a Fazio golf course on the ocean. So
No doubt you'll have to take a business trip there too, I'm sure.
Well,
right?
I think we're going to have to. I got to get you up. You and I got to hit the road to do this together. But I tell you, it's going to be interesting because, as always, you and I ahead of the curve on Golf Talk Canada. I think come 2018, the secret's going to be out when that Fazio course opens about St. Kitts as a golf destination.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, we have a ton to get to today. You'd think in the middle of February it would be kind of quiet, but it's like the 16th hole right here in the studio. There's so much stuff going on. Let's get to some news and headlines.
News and Headlines is brought to you by Golf PEI. With 400 fairways within a 45-minute drive, PEI is a golfer's paradise. Visit golfpei.ca to book your golf vacation and discover why PEI is Canada's number one golf destination.
All right, well, the top news, of course, came yesterday early in the morning when Tiger Woods decided he could not play the second round of the Omega Dubai Classic. He withdrew with back issues. His doesn't appear that it is the same problem that he went through before for the surgeries in terms of nerve damage. It seems more like spasms. But let's get the official word that we got from his agent, Mark Steinberg, just to explain exactly what we were told after Tiger decided not to play.
I didn't see him at dinner, but said he was okay. And went into a spasm in his lower back fairly late last night after dinner. Tried to work it out last night, didn't really get it worked out. Had treatment starting pretty early this morning for probably the past three and a half hours, and he can't get this spasm. It's a back spasm. He says it's not the nerve pain that's kept him out for so long. He says it's a back spasm. And he can't get the spasm to calm down. So that's where we are. It feels terrible. Talked to Matthew and Danny. Feels awful. But he wanted to be here. He wants to be here. And he just feels terrible that he can't, you know, finish it out today.
Well, there's the word from Super Agent Mark Steinberg, and I don't know where you are on this, Mark. I mean, this is obviously troubling. He came back last week, didn't play very well, but that wasn't too surprising. Put the hockey sticks up for first round in the desert at 77, and then withdraws. I mean, what do you feel? What do you think?
Well, I got a few takes on this, and you and I haven't had a chance to chat on this, so I'm curious if you're, as to your opinion, Bob, but I got to be honest with you. Let's take the cup half full approach first. It's not the same nerve pain as he experienced in the past that was surgery related, so that's good news. Even if you have a good back, you know, being in different hotel rooms, 20-hour flights, can cause a lot of damage to someone's back. Trust me, I know. I've dealt with it for a long time. Geez, Louis Oosthuizen even travels with his own mattress these days. So, you know, backs are sensitive. But let's be honest. Okay, he shoots 77. Day two was a horrible windstorm. They had to suspend the round in Abu Dhabi. So it wasn't exactly the best day that they, you know, that he wanted to be on the golf course to begin with. And what is he doing flying 20 hours to begin with? You and I said this last week. I said, 20 hours for a back? Why is he on the West Coast? Why isn't he in Phoenix, Bob?
And he had to take commercial flight. I understand he was in the middle seat the entire way, and the guy in front of him put the chair back into his knees the entire flight. I'm just kidding on that one. He actually he did take a commercial flight, but he had a $30,000 private suite at the top of the plane, apparently, on the airline that he flew. But I agree with you. Seriously, I agree with you. I think that, you know, when you're just starting back, it's better to stay a little bit closer to home, where you've got all your resources, where you can call up your back cruncher. There's all sorts of stories out there that he's lifting weights again, that he's, you know, doing that improperly, that he's just kind of overdoing it. Obviously, he's hitting a lot of golf balls. Obviously, he's been playing a lot of rounds at home, where he's trying to get into shape again. So, I mean, you just add all those things up together, and it doesn't make much sense to go halfway around the world, unless, of course, you want the $2 million that's the check that he's reportedly getting. And I can understand that. You know, I think anybody would be stupid if someone offered me $2 million. I'd fly around the world, too. But, boy, this just does not bode well. And there's all sorts of people out there saying, okay, this is the end. I'm still not there yet. I still think let's give him a little while. Let's get him through Augusta, see where he is. If he's got any more of these setbacks, though, you know, then you start to wonder is he going to be like Fred Couples? Is he going to be the next guy who only plays when his back allows him to play?
I think that's exactly where we're going in a best-case scenario. And I got a couple of thoughts, Bob. You know, $2 million to you and I is a world of money. To Tiger Woods, $2 million is not a lot of money anymore. If he's playing the game right now for money, I just can't even conceive that. That says a lot of things about him as a person that I don't want to believe, if he's actually playing the game for money right now. You know, at the end of last year, I said Mackenzie Hughes is going to be the first Canadian to win. I got lucky. You know, usually most things I predict don't come true, so I got to lean on that one for the next year. I said Phil Mickelson would win on the West Coast. I'm running out of time there. I think maybe at Pebble Beach. If you know, I think he's in the field at Pebble, so there's a chance for that. I said Rory's going to win at the Masters. And I said Tiger's going to retire in 2017. And I hope I'm wrong. Like, I truly hope I'm wrong. But if this continues the way it's going, I'm starting to lean that way. And maybe the best case scenario we have here is what you just suggested, is a guy who plays a very limited part-time schedule at best, and you shoot 77s. And I don't want to see Tiger like that. If that's the case, I would prefer him to walk away. Now, all that being said, just like you and I both said last week, let's wait till we're through the Arnold Palmer at the very least before we determine what he's potentially capable of at Augusta.
Well, if there's one thing we've learned about Tiger, it's just don't underestimate him, don't doubt him just yet. We'll see what happens with that. Other news to get to, sort of a surprising news yesterday. Manulife is going to pull the plug on its sponsorship of the Manulife LPGA Classic. That is after 6 years. The last year will be here this year. in North Dumfries is the actual name of the town where Whistle Bear is. I thought that tournament had been a pretty good success for them. They have a big presence in the Kitchener-Waterloo area, Manulife, but the organizer of the tournament, Sports Properties International, has said that they're going to bow out, and they're on the hunt now for a new sponsor. And it takes a hit if they can't get a sponsor. That's one less LPGA Tour event in Canada. I'm going to have to think, with Brooke Henderson's marquee value, that there's a company out there, perhaps in the Ottawa area, maybe, that might want to take this over.
Yeah, I've heard that as well, Bob. And I've heard that there's a couple of people knocking at their door for secondary and third positions as well, if that Ottawa company doesn't want to cut, company doesn't want to cut the same check that Manulife cut. I think this solely has to go directly related to Manulife's profits in the last couple of years have not been what they were back when they originally struck this deal, and they're just peeling back across the board. But this is going to be unpopular because they did a lot of charity in that area, a lot of great things for the community, and this is an unpopular decision. But I guess it's the reality of when profits aren't where they need to be, they pull back on things like this. But I'm with you. I think someone's going to step up, and I don't think it's going to take long.
Yeah, I think the strategy for Manulife might be changing as well. You know, there's some talk that you know, maybe this wasn't quite a perfect fit for the way they do volunteer stuff and charitable purposes. They've got a lot of irons and other fires as well. Just quickly before we go, Betty Stanhope Cole, a member of the Canadian Golf Hall of Fame, passed away. Our condolences out to her family. And we have a lot to get to here, Mark. I know you're probably just going through security now, so. If you make it through after we get here if we get through this break here right now, we'll do our winners, weird, and what. What do you think about that?
All I know is this: the guy's hands are extremely cold this morning, Bob. That's all I know.
All right, there's more ahead on Golf Talk Canada when we get back. It's time for winners, weird, and what.
This segment of GTC was brought to you by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by TaylorMade and the new M family of drivers and irons. Same letter, better everything. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. Weeks in studio, Zucchino, Terminal 1, getting ready to get his Speedo on and head down to St. Kitts. Are you one of those guys who changes, like, in the washroom? Do you put shorts on before you get there?
No. No, is that a play? I didn't know that was even a move, Bob.
That's a thing.
Can't go anywhere without a sports jacket. The sports jacket is the equivalent to the male purse when traveling. I need the pockets. I just have to have the pockets.
The merce. I must admit, I made a big mistake last week with your wife and former sweetheart. I asked her... I said, "Are you going on this trip?" And she looked at me like, "Are you crazy?" Like, of course I'm going. I'm going to St. Kitts.
Bob, I got to tell you, when I have to go to Akron, Ohio for PGA Tour Radio, I can't find her. But St. Kitts, the bags are packed at the door a week before. So.
All right, well, it's time for Winners, Weird, and What. And Mark, my friend, you have the tea.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
All right, Bob, I'm going all waste management today in Winners, Weird, and What. My winner is going to be the 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th hole. What a finish come Sunday night. I don't know how you feel about this, but I love the volatility. I love the stadium, the Coliseum hole 16. They've done a Coliseum type of hole at 17. And if things line up properly, Bob, this could end just before kickoff of the Super Bowl.
It's an amazing event down there, and the 16th does get a lot of attention, but that final stretch, you're right, is very, very volatile. Nothing's assured until that last putt gets into the hole, and I tell you, the people down there, they get so many people on Super Bowl weekend. It's mind-blowing. It's a great event and a great finish.
Well, that's a great segue to my weird, because my weird this week, 200,000 people roughly every day at this tournament. There's like 170,000 on Thursday, over 200,000 on the weekend. But the interesting stat I found out, and why it's my weird, 70% of the patrons on site at TPC Scottsdale won't make it west of the 16th hole, which means that most of the week, 140,000 people are on the first hole, second hole, 18th, 17th, and 16th hole. That's five holes holding 140,000. And now think of this. Sunday evening, potentially 200,000 people on 16, 17, and 18. I don't think there's another event like it, Bob, in all of golf.
I could tell you, when you go down there, I can understand that. It makes sense because a lot of people there, I won't say they aren't there for the golf, but there's a lot of posing going on down there. There's a lot of beautiful people walking around in beautiful clothes that don't look like golf tournament clothes. And they have a lot of places where you can get a libation, and those might have 200,000 in each of them, I tell you. It's great. It's a good, fun party.
Well, you teed that one up for me as well, because this year at the Waste Management, they're going to have breathalyzers on the way out of the gates exiting the golf course. And someone who could have used the breathalyzer is Stephen Bowditch. Thursday night, he fell asleep at a traffic light. The light actually turned green twice before the police officers went to the car and woke him up. He blew a 2.0. 0.8 is the legal limit in the state of Arizona. He spent the evening in jail, woke up the next day, missed the cut, matching 75-75. Listen, everybody makes mistakes in life. I hope there's nothing serious going on in Stephen Bowditch's life. But getting behind the wheel of a car like that, that is so irresponsible. And when you are lucky enough to play a game for a living like millions of dollars, and you don't care enough about going out the next day and performing and missing the cut, man. We don't know what's going on in his life. I hope it's nothing serious. But if there isn't anything serious going on in his life, regardless, what are you thinking? But come on, Bob, you got to be better than that, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, Stephen Bowditch has suffered with depression. We know that. And that still, though, doesn't give you the excuse to blow what they call it. Actually, in the Scottsdale area, they refer to it as an extreme DUI, anything over 0.15 or higher. And he, as you said, was 0.20. So, I mean, it was pretty serious. And I don't know. Not much more you can say about that. That's a tough one. All right, Mark, my turn. I have the tee.
So what do I do? Just aim for the pond?
No, you're not supposed to hit it into the water.
But you hit it into the water.
I know I hit it into the water.
Well, why do they even have water if you're not supposed to hit it there?
Because it's fun! We're having fun!
Look, it went further than your ball.
Well, Mark, I'm going to take a page from your book and also go to the Waste Management, at least for my first one here. Maybe actually all three of them. My winner this week are the Thunderbirds. Now, the Thunderbirds are the group of people that run the tournament down there. They're a service group, a charitable group, and they have raised so much money through doing all sorts of things like building that stadium around the 16th hole. Last year, they returned $9 million to charity. That's the entire profit that tournament made, and over the years, they have done incredible work down there, and I think it's amazing that a group of puppets, marionettes, the Thunderbirds, can run a golf tournament of this magnitude while also saving the world in outer space. Now, only certain people who are of a certain vintage will understand what I'm talking about right there. But do you remember the Thunderbirds, Mark?
Bob, you couldn't resist.
I'm sorry. I like the Thunderbirds. They were a great little cartoon or a great little animation. But seriously, the Thunderbirds have done a great job down there in Phoenix. My weird this week is your boy, Phil Mickelson, lefty. Now, we've seen Lefty try a lot of crazy shots over the years. You know, he's done the crazy flop over his head. He's done the shot through the trees at Augusta National. Yesterday, he tried one that I haven't seen before. He hit a driver off the deck. That in itself is not new, but on the par 4 eighth hole, his drive ends up behind a tree, so he needs to play this big cut shot to get it around into the green. It's in deep rough, like ankle-deep rough. You can't even see the ball. And what club does he hit? He hits the driver off the hairy deck, we'll call it. I don't know what you want to refer to it as. Out of the deep rough, he hits this driver, and it didn't go too well. If you can check out the highlights on PGAtour.com, and there's a lot of, look out, going after he tries to hit that shot. But Phil never fails to surprise us, does he?
No, it's unbelievable. Part of the reason why people love him, I got to think, Bob, there's only two other players in history that would even conceive that thought and even try that. Probably Seve and Arnold Palmer. along with Phil. I can't think of anybody other than those three that could even think of something like that.
I agree with you. All right, my what is what a great move by our boy Mackenzie Hughes. He played to the crowd at the 16th hole, brought out the Leaf sweater, and not just any old Leaf sweater, of course. He puts that on before he took his swing both Thursday and Friday, but an Austin Matthews sweater. Of course, Austin Matthews is from that Scottsdale area, so he played to the crowd. They seemed to love it, although I understand that when he was walking up to the green, they were cheering, USA, USA. So maybe not all Leaf fans there, but at the end of it, he actually took the sweater off, signed it, and threw it up into the crowd. So good for him. He bogeyed the hole, by the way, Thursday, made a nice little birdie on Friday. I like his fun attitude of that hole.
Yeah, I thought it was a cool move. Again, playing to the home crowd. And Canadians doing well this week, Bob. Again, maybe not going to be on the heels of maybe the eventual winner here. It looks like Hideki's going to have a good chance to repeat. But it's nice to see every week multiple Canadian flags under par.
Graham Dillette, Adam Hadwin, both up inside the top 20 and playing well right now, which is nice to see, especially for Graham Dillette. All right, when we come back, after the break, you had a chance to go one-on-one with Sean Foley, the coach to the Stars, and a guy who has lots of insight into the golf swing and to lots of players who are swinging that way. So when we come back after the break, it's Sean Foley with Mark Sacchino.
This segment of GTC presented by Acura was brought to you by TaylorMade and the new M family of drivers and irons. Same letter, better everything. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Weeks in studio, Sacchino on location, getting ready to head down to St. Kitts. Before he jetted off to the airport, though, Mark had a chance to talk with Sean Foley, the teacher to the Stars, who got his start just down the road from where we are here at Glen Abbey Golf Course. And Mark talked to him about how teaching has changed, about some of the biggest misconceptions. But he started off congratulating Sean on his new academy.
Congratulations, Sean, on the new academy. Why now? Why at this point in your life to get back and focus on juniors?
Well, I just think it's something I've been focusing on the whole time. I have a group of kids or a bunch of kids that I've been working with for the last 10 years I've been down here. So I think that this is, from a purpose standpoint, it's getting into these kids' lives at a more developmental age. So, you know, how I coached 12 years ago and now is so different. How I coached 2 years ago and now is so different. And I think that if you continue to go down the rabbit hole trying to understand better ways to be more effective, I think that you get away from some of the things that you did in the past. You do things and then they don't work out, and you have to look in the mirror and figure out what's happening. So the one thing I love about golf is kind of an endless learning. It's like life in so many ways. It's just an endless stream of learning. And I think I can provide a lot more support to kids now, not even in a technical way as far as their swing goes. I mean, we can always work on that and make it better. But, you know, there's a lot of people on the PGA Tour and the mini tours who are very good players who aren't orthodox players, but they get it done. And I think that, you know, golf is about shooting the lowest amount of scores, shooting the lowest score possible. So taking it from that standpoint, that vantage point, and then my own way, when you're mentoring these kids, they're going to have to make mistakes. I think one of the mistakes that we make as adults is when kids are making mistakes, we tend to get in the way too much and try to fix it or get them not to make mistakes. But learning is learning, and we can call it a mistake or a good idea, but some of my worst ideas ended up having the highest amount of learning, right? So, just kind of getting these kids to find their own way and be able to take ownership and responsibility for what they do and do it a little more in the 21st century.
Now, your Performance Academy is going to touch on golfers of all levels, but it's going to focus on elite juniors and a world-class program. You spoke a bit there about, you know, mistakes and putting the ball in the hole. How difficult is it for you, and how much has it changed over the years? Because you have a scientific mind, scientific approach, you're into biomechanics. How hard is it for you to sometimes also take a step back and marry that with the fact that it's a game and we've got to put the ball in the hole in the lowest amount of shots?
Well, you know, I think you got to remember is how most people know about me or hear about me. It's typically been through golf media. So I could, you know, they're slightly accurate, but I don't think any of them have ever seen me give a lesson before. So there's one thing, what you know, and there's another thing on what you talk about. And look, the players who are coming to see me, like the three people I have scheduled today, they're not typically coming to become smarter. They want to come and get better. And so that's, I think that's always been kind of a, I would say I've been misrepresented as being this, you know, way up in my head guy, which, you know, which we can do, which we can go there. I mean, a lot of the great coaches know enough about the sport and the rules and the technique of the game. But, you know, look at Duke right now. Duke had the same players, and Coach Krzyzewski's been gone this season, and, you know, they're not playing like they normally play. So, are those kids any worse as players? Absolutely not. Are they maybe less inspired, more confused? Probably. And I think that that's what you know, Coach K's role is to turn these young men into upstanding men and make them responsible and take ownership and do all those things that are necessary, because we all have this inside of us. But we just kind of all grow up in societies that don't point out what's great in us. They point out in us what's wrong in us. And, you know, I'd like to challenge that moving forward.
Sean, I'm curious, because I know obviously there's a lot more that goes into what you do today than what you did a few years ago and a decade ago, like you mentioned off the top of the interview. So what type of program and what do you touch on with a world-class junior? I've got to assume it's way more than just, you know, standing on that driving range, especially since you spoke about turning them into great young men and women. So give us an idea of the type of instructors and the things maybe outside just the golf swing you would work on at this new Performance Academy.
Well, for example, I mean... You know, you have to, when you're dealing with adolescents, right, when you're dealing with these teenagers, biologically they tick way different than us. And so, you know, getting a kid to come to golf practice at 8 a.m. after he's been on his iPad till midnight is just, it's not progressive to learning. So even some of the school systems around the world, these kids in their teens don't go to school till 10 a.m. because neuroscientists have done studies on their cognitive and brain function. And they're pretty asleep still, even if they're awake. So it's taking a look at what other people have done to improve learning. Because it's just about learning, right? I mean, the difference, Tiger Woods, you could argue, is the greatest super learner in golf. Jack Nicklaus is the greatest super learner in golf. And, you know, looking at things like that, you know, some of the things we do with our players on tour is as they sleep, we measure heart rate variability. That can give us plenty of looks into the circulatory system, into their nervous system, into all these things. So, look, if a guy sleeps all night, wakes up in the morning and says, you know, I had a great sleep, but we get this printout on our computer that says that he's like a 3 out of 10 physically right now, he still needs to recover. The last thing we're going to do is take him to the gym and we'll, you know, and grind out a workout, no pain, no gain. It's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard, I think. If you challenge the idea of no pain, no gain, it's kind of silly. And then you keep him from, maybe he goes to the course with his wedge and his putter, and he just does 18 holes walking around, chipping and putting and getting used to the green complexes. So there's so many ways that we could do it. But the worst thing to do if a guy wakes up and he's been, you know, he's been on an all-night flight, he's just played 3 weeks in a row, and he physiologically is kind of in a downturn, the last thing you're going to do is go hit balls for 5 hours, play 18 holes, and go work out. I mean, that's guaranteed. That's helping us miss the cut. Even though it looks like we're working on our game, it's helping us miss the cut. So It's looking at, one, the system of learning and challenging the idea of, if I do something for 10,000 hours, that I'll be great at it. I have lessons all the time with people who have played golf for more than 10,000 hours, and in that time, they've just perfected the slice, right?
So it's practicing the right things as opposed to perfecting the wrong things, I guess, is what you're suggesting.
Yeah, well, perfect is not even a word we use. I will never say the word perfect because that, I mean, if look, if you're trying to knit a sweater and your focus is perfection, then that's, I understand that. But if you are playing golf, I think the perfect score would obviously be 18, right? So
considering that guys are just starting to break 60 a little more regularly, we're like 40-something strokes away from being perfect. So the focus is to get these kids to also, the one thing that is an advantage we have is that the owners of the academy, Claire and Jack Zhang, they also own the golf course. So the kids can play as often as they can. And I think that, look, if you want to be a professional golfer, or not, let's not even use the word professional golfer, but if you just want to be a developed and extremely good player, you have to play. You can't learn how to play on the driving range. And so we challenge kids with different games, like have them go out and play with five clubs, have them play the front tees one day, have them play the back tees one day without woods, have them play worst ball, have them hit all fades on the front nine, all draws on the back nine. So what we're doing is we're increasing our skill set rather than just having our technique to be excellent.
Well, with Sean Foley, one of the top instructors in the world, opening a Foley Performance Academy at Eagles Dreams, about 20 minutes north of Orlando in Lake Mary, Florida. Sean, just a couple of quick questions before we let you go. We know you have a busy day ahead of you. One, just curious, what's the biggest, in your mind, misconception or challenge facing, you know, an elite junior or even a world-class professional at this point when they're thinking about their golf swing? We have a lot of world-class, you know, national Canadian juniors that listen to us with their families coast-to-coast on TSN radio, and I'm sure maybe some of them are going to be reaching out to you after we air today's interview. What's the biggest misconception or challenge you see today?
I think that the biggest misconception that we all have, and I have it from time to time, but I had it my whole life till I kind of sorted it out, is as long as people think that they are young players, everybody, it doesn't matter if you're a doctor, a lawyer, if you're a school teacher, what have you, is as long as people think that the feelings that they go through come from outside of them, they're always going to be struggling because, you know, for example, MIT did a study on human behavior, and they said that 95% of human behavior was automated. So we're just complete automation on a daily basis. So by those numbers, if my wife is being charming or annoying, she's probably being the same. It's just the lens that I'm seeing her through. So one day, you know, one of my players said I was in traffic. It stressed me out. The next day he was in traffic and he said he wasn't stressed out. So it can't be the traffic that's stressing him out. It's just where he's at when he's observing the traffic. So getting kids to understand that they're only feeling the quality of their own thinking. When they say, you know, my parents put pressure on me or my school puts pressure on me, is getting them to understand that no one can do anything to you from a mental standpoint. It's mentally your perception of what they're saying and then your admission of it. So as long as we realize that our estimate of the world around us is what makes us feel that way, then that helps us be clear in what we do. You don't take things so personally. There's not as much drama in your life. And look, the best players in the world, when they shoot 59, they're the worst interview in the world. They say, so you shot 59, tell me about your day. I played really great. I just felt great all day. So what did you do to kind of get into the zone? They have no idea. They're like, I just hit one shot at a time and it just happened. And so the problem is when you sell a book called The Zone, you make people believe that there's this thing that they can get to. And then when they can't, they think that they're idiots. And I think a lot of the mental performance stuff is letting people down to making them think that they're just not right and can't do it properly because the stuff's not based in principle. To me, it's all based in opinion, and there's not a whole lot of truth to it. So the tricky part about the idea of thought is thought, like gravity, is formless. And you can't see gravity, but we know it exists. Well, I believe there's principles behind thinking that can clear up the world a little bit for us. And if you notice, you know, from American news to just Canadian news of late, the reason we're seeing all these massive conflicts in between people is because we don't understand that it's our perception of what's happening and there's nothing being done to us. So to me, overall in junior golf, there's an absence of love and compassion for these kids and empathy for what they're going through, from their parents getting divorced to breakups with their girlfriends to trying to be popular to getting picked on. All the stuff we went through as kids. And the problem with kids is they're monosyllabic. So when you ask them, how are you? They say, good. How you been playing? Fine. What's new? Nothing. But they got so much going on in their head that they don't talk about. And I think that it gets confusing. And, you know, you can take them on the range and help with their swing. But if you sit down and talk to them and get them to be honest, you realize, like, wow, there's no way they're going to play well because there's so many thoughts in their head. There's no way they could ever be clear. And so it's not about the zone. It's not about being positive. It's just about being clear.
Sean, real quick before we let you go, because we know you've got to fly, just curious, and this is more for my own sake because I'm out there quite a bit on the PGA Tour walking in the ropes with these guys, calling play-by-play. And I see Adam Scott, and he comes to my mind. I go to myself every week when I see Adam Scott, why doesn't this guy win every week? Is there a player or somebody you've worked with over the years, or maybe somebody you're currently working with, where they're just off the charts in some area or something that is just so good where you scratch your head or you go, man, I just can't figure out why this, or maybe it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time before this guy just starts winning so much more.
Yeah, well, that's funny. Every time I see Adam Scott, who I've become mates with over the years, I just get jealous. No, look, Adam Scott and all of his beauty and his amazing golf swing, and that he's like a great surfer, tennis player, can probably play seven instruments, and he's probably a poet. I don't even know. Adam can do it all. There's no doubt. But you know, Adam, like everyone else, has a brain attached to his body. And, you know, we're looking at things on the outside, whereas it's what's making everything happen is coming from the inside. So I'm sure Adam has as many struggles as everybody else. And look, Phil Mickelson is the second best player in his generation, the Tiger Woods, and Phil won basically 9 out of every 107 starts. So if there's no Tiger, Phil was the best. He literally is winning 8 times every 100 times he plays. So golf's not a game like tennis where you can have Federer, who has been the winningest player ever. He's playing one person on the same environment at the same time with the same conditions. But in golf, I mean, you know, Justin Rose, I think, played extremely well at the British Open for 5 years in a row. The problem is, for 4 of those 5 years, we teed off in the middle of a tornado with freezing cold rain. But the guy who won that tournament teed off that day, and, you know, without his sweater on, with no wind. So that golf course is like 10 shots easier. So there's so much that goes into success that we have zero control of. I mean, I would argue almost everything.
He is Sean Foley. He's one of the top instructors in the world. It is the Foley Performance Academy at Eagles Dream in Lake Mary, Florida. That's about 20 minutes north of Orlando. Go to eaglesdream.com for more information. Sean, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. Really enjoyed the conversation, and I'll see you soon out there on the PGA Tour.
Okay, guys. Have a great day.
That is Sean Foley and Mark Zucchino. There's more Golf Talk Canada coming up when we get back.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit WeatherTech.ca. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Weeks in studio, Zucchino at Terminal 1 jetting off. Mark, we have 1 minute to go here. Congratulations. That was a wonderful interview with Sean Foley, who's always an interesting guy. Just switching the page a little bit, I'm going to ask you right now to give me a winner of the Waste Management Phoenix Open before you jet off to enjoy your Mai Tais in the sun.
Hideki repeats, Bob, and somehow he manages to find the putter long enough, I think, to repeat. I've got the Patriots to win, but the Falcons to cover three. I'm trying to catch it in the middle. Who do you like Sunday?
Sunday, I'm gonna like the Falcons. I think. I think Atlanta's gonna pull that one through. I think it's just not quite enough. There's just not quite enough there, I think, for the Patriots. But who knows? That's gonna be a big game. It's on CTV. Everybody, tune in and watch it on CTV. Mark, have a great trip down south. We'll see you. I don't know, sometime next month when you get back from the sunshine. Remember your sunscreen on there. For everyone listening on the national audience, thank you for listening. We have another 30 minutes to go for those of you in Hamilton and here in Toronto. More Golf Talk Canada when we get back.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit WeatherTech.ca. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at GolfTalkCanada.ca. We'll be right back with more GTC. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. Weeks in studio, and Zucchino jetting his way down to St. Kitts as we speak, going down to do some work, he says. I'm not sure about that story. I think that might be a little bit, if you can work in your Speedo sitting by the pool, I guess you can do it, but good for him. And we've got St. Kitts. We welcome them as a new sponsor. Producer Adam Scully now in studio for Scully Time. And Scully, let's start... first of all, by the big news of the week, of course, Adam Hadwin. Of course, Tiger Woods pulling out with the back spasms. What's your take on it? Have you ever had back problems? You probably not, because you're like 10 years old.
I'm a little older than 10. I have had some back issues, more from playing hockey, but right. I get the stiff back from playing golf, more so because I swing way too hard at the ball.
Okay.
But, you know, to watching him in the first round, he looked in pain.
He looked in pain, or he looked kind of just like stiff.
He looked like emotionless. It was really weird. Like, he was walking really slowly, really gingerly. Like, getting out of on the first round, that first hole, that bunker, it was a little stiff. It was a little, it was deep, but it looked like he almost was going to be stuck in there because he was grimacing. He was trying to get out. And as you said, he was walking really slowly and really stiff. So it's weird to judge Tiger right now.
It's hard. It's always sort of like one step forward, two steps
exactly.
back in certain
yeah.
cases, right? We just don't know what to get. I'd love to see him just be able to go on a little bit of a run
yeah.
and try and put some things together and play well and see what he can do. Maybe he doesn't have it. Maybe he doesn't. But I'd just like to be able to see what he has.
Well, and as we mentioned in the first segment, it's sort of you take a 20-hour flight with a bad back, you know, only bad things can happen. And it was really puzzling watching him play. It was all this excitement around it, and then he hooks his first tee shot like 70 yards left of the fairway.
And, that's right.
And one of the commentators said on his, I believe it was his fourth hole, when he left a 90-foot leg putt 30 feet short, that was the worst putt he's ever hit in his life. It's sort of,
The putting to me was almost worse than anything else. I mean, because that has kind of been a little bit what's held him in to a certain...
Right.
In the Hero World Challenge in the first week.
Yeah.
But, man, like, it was, the speed was off, the line was off. It was just
everything.
Kind of, it looked horrible. That's with his trusty Scotty Cameron.
Yeah, and he wasn't hitting the ball that bad. He was, like, he had three or four really good birdie chances within 15, 18 feet on that front side on Wednesday night or Thursday morning in Dubai. And
Never scared
no,
the hole.
Near the hole. Yeah, it was. Is this Tiger Woods, really? But, you know, I guess that's sort of the new norm with Tiger. But as you guys said again earlier, it's sort of, yes, this is only a second real tournament back. Hopefully he can play at Genesis and at the Honda Classic. And that'll be, once as he says, once he gets more reps and gets more game action or in game shape, as they say, I guess that'll be the more the telltale of a Tiger.
I suspect you'll see him at LA just because it's part of his tournament,
right?
For the benefits his foundation.
Right.
I think you'll see him there. I think you'll see him at Valspar, and then I wouldn't be surprised if, in his mind, he adds a tournament before the Masters, mm-hmm. maybe Houston or something like that, mm-hmm. just to try and get, as we say, get those reps in, especially if he's consistently missing the cut.
Well,
only getting two rounds in.
Yeah, and one thing that's been, I know at Hero, it was fairly dry and his drives were running out, but both in the first two tournaments he's played since, the courses have been really soggy and really wet, so the ball's not getting much rollout. And as Tiger, you know, he's the different Tiger now, so he's not overpowering golf courses. So I guess it'll be curious to see once he's back, once, you know, the courses are drier and more in normal conditions, what he's going to be like, I think, in my mind.
Well, there are still golf tournaments going on, and believe it or not, even without Tiger, the Omega Dubai Desert Classic, they're still playing it. They decided to keep going. I know it's shocking, but they decided they would continue on, and Sergio Garcia right now, they are almost finished the third round. Mm-hmm. Sergio Garcia currently holds a two-shot lead. He is through 16 holes over Henrik Stenson. Sergio's at 14 under, Henrik Stenson at 12 under, followed by Ian Poulter, Prom Miswat, and then in the next group, there's an interesting gaggle of players.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrrell Hatton, who may be one of the most underrated European golfers right now. Raphael Jacquelin is a veteran, Peter Uhlein. And one of my favorite golfers, the Spaniard Nacho Elvira.
One of the best names in sports.
That's just a great name. That's just a great name.
And it's great to see Graham McDowell up in the top 10 as well, too.
Yeah, Graham McDowell, who's kind of taken some time mm-hmm. away. Had a child last year. I don't think he's dedicated his full efforts to his game, understandably, because he's been looking after raising a family, mm-hmm. which is a smart thing to do. 4 under today. He just threw. He is at 8 under, 6 shots back right now. To me, this looks like it might come down to, I don't know, maybe somebody could have a big round, but it looks like Sergio and Henrik will be the two front runners to try and take mm-hmm. this down the stretch. They'll be playing together tomorrow in the final group, so it should be interesting. This is a pretty good tournament.
Right.
They attract a pretty good crowd down there.
They really do, and as we were saying just before we went on the air, hopefully there aren't any more shanks for the rest of the tournament, because we've seen wild ones, haven't we?
Wow, like Ian Poulter, who's 3 shots off the lead, had one that went like straight left.
Well, at the Ryder Cup a couple years ago, Poulter had a shank. I think he was playing Webb Simpson in a match at Medina, and it was a par 3, and it went sideways. It was crooked.
I think he, for a top player, I think he has more shanks than anyone I know. Darren Clark also had one with a wedge shot that he was hitting at about 65 yards, and it went way right into the bunker.
Yeah, about 40.
The funniest look was on the players the ball went behind these other players who were in his group. They were kind of shocked at that one, but he took some good-natured ribbing for that one
as well. Oh, yeah.
The Waste Management Phoenix Open is still going on as well. Imagine that. And
yes,
what a tournament this is. I love this. I love watching this tournament. It's so much fun. They do such a great job. Byung-Hun An, Ben An, is at 10 under along with Brendan Steele. Mm-hmm. And Brendan Steele's had a really good start to the year. Won his first tournament out at Napa at the mm-hmm. Safeway. And then since that time, he's had, I think, two more top 10s, a couple of top 6s. So he is on fire, actually. I like the way he's playing. There's a crowded leaderboard, though, at 9 under Martin Laird, Matt Kuchar, Sung Kang, and Hideki Matsuyama, of course, who is the defending champion. Mm-hmm. And then a couple shots further back from there, Michael Kim, who I have in my pool, thank goodness. Louis Oosthuizen, the guy who lost the playoff last year, Ricky Fowler, and former PGA Tour Canada player J.J. Spaun. Mm-hmm. So Canadian content, Graham Dillette is tied for 11th. And Adam Hadwin is tied for 21st. As Zacchino was saying earlier, it's kind of nice to have some Canadian content up near the top almost every week.
Well, and it was awesome as well, the pairing that they made for the first two rounds. The 259s, Hadwin and Justin Thomas with Phil Mickelson. Just for seeing Adam Hadwin getting that interaction with the big guys, per se, and TV time and such. But it was a great pairing for the tour. And Justin Thomas didn't have the best of tournaments, but that's going to happen from time to time. And It was great TV, especially with Phil, as we mentioned earlier, that driver from the rough, which I'm not sure if you've actually tried to hit that shot. maybe from the fairway, it should, you know, take off low and it should cut. So I understand what he was trying to do in a sense, but his reaction when he's saying heads up, yeah, when the ball is going right the audience,
that straight one. I don't know how you do that. It was nice to see him fill in the 59s. That's what sounds like an old 50s doo-wop group or something like that. But after not being able to see much of Adam Hadwin's great 59 round, we basically saw him all day on Thursday, and then yesterday he was on the PGA Tour Live. If you were looking online, so we saw a lot of Adam Hadwin. Mm-hmm. I love the tempo in his swing and the tempo in his putting stroke.
Well, and the thing with his 59 is that because his tempo is so good, you would think you may be getting a little uptight or nervous. That tempo didn't change at all for the last four holes that we saw on television, and he just seemed in control the whole time. The same thing as I find with Mackenzie Hughes as well. He's got that bit of the weir waggle, if you will, taking it back, and then we certainly saw some of him the past couple of days on that 16th hole with the Austin Matthews sweater, as you mentioned in Winners Weird and What, and wasn't that great to see him sign the sweater and throw it in the crowd, and there's a bit of a brawl over the sweater in the crowd there, but it was a good moment for him. Unfortunately, didn't make the cut, but a great moment for him to show that off for sure.
I saw the guy who got the sweater actually sent a tweet out, and he tagged Mackenzie in it, said, "Hey, thanks very much for the sweater," and then Mackenzie retweeted that.
Oh, good.
It was funny listening to the announcers on the PGA Tour Live. They had no clue about Austin Matthews' connection to Arizona, and they were just sort of going on talking about, oh, there must be some Canadians in the crowd here and everything. And also nice to see Graeme Dillette up there. He had two very unusually different rounds. If you look at the first round, driving accuracy, first day he misses one fairway. Second, he misses seven. The first day he hits 16 of 18 greens. The second day he hits 11. But he gets it done the second day with, unbelievably, his putter, which was which was pretty hot. So if his putter is good and he can keep the other parts of his game in order, which is, tee to green, if you ask a lot of players on the PGA Tour, they will tell you that Graeme Dillette is one of the purest ball strikers out there. If that putter is even slightly warm, you think he's got to be up near the top by Sunday.
Absolutely, and as you mentioned, he is such a good ball striker, such a good driver of the golf ball. And when he was in contention there before the end of the New Year, or the start of the New Year, I should say, it was that chipping and the putting that held him back. But if he can just hold that together, his ball striking is going to carry him, and that's the way it always has been for Graham. And I know he tweeted earlier this week, it was a throwback Thursday with he had a big beard, and he was sort of saying, should I bring that back? So maybe he'll bring back the fear of the beard, I guess we'll see.
Well, the putting stats, first round he was minus 0.101 in strokes gained putting. Second, he was plus 1.773. So that's how he held it together. It was a bit of a crazy round, though. He had on the he started on the back nine, had three birdies, an eagle, and a bogey, and then on the backside he had two birdies and four bogeys. So a bit of a wild ride for Graeme Dillette, but again, nice to see him up there contending. Again, the top of the leaderboard is Ben Ahn, who I think he's a young Korean guy, won the USM at 17 years old back in 2009. And he is at 10 under along with Brendan Steele, who, Brendan Steele, by the way, speaking of hockey sweaters.
Big hockey fan.
Huge hockey fan. Mm-hmm. Loves the Kings. Mm-hmm. Season ticket holder to the Kings. Doesn't know why he likes it so much, because he never really grew up playing it or anything, but I know he plays a lot with guys like Loophole and Scotty Upshaw and that crew that lives out towards that way. All right, give me a winner. What do you think, Mr. Scully?
You know what? I like Cooch this week. He's pretty good under pressure, and he's always up there in the top 15, top 25, and he's coming off two good rounds, 64, 69, and I think he can just be someone who's a steady Eddie, and when other players falter, he'll just sort of be there, and maybe it'll be a little playoff with Martin Laird, I guess. Only time will tell, I guess, in that sense, but it's hard to also bet against Hideki Matsuyama, too. He's just on fire.
Cooch is a big Atlanta Falcons fan. He's going to be glued to the set immediately following.
Right.
So if he does win, the prize ceremony will be very short.
Yes.
I'm going to go with Brendan Steele. I think he'll get win number two here. He's playing well. Don't forget, this is a guy who switched just a couple of years ago from the long putter.
Right.
Having a great
and a claw grip. Yeah.
Yeah. Having a great great run back now with a regular length putter. All right. When we come back, we are going to give away. We're going to do it right now. We're going to quickly before we go to break. We're going to give away two tickets to the Toronto Golf and Travel Show. No, we're not. You know what? We'll do that. We'll save that for right after the break, because I don't have the phone number here. But stay tuned. If you want to win a couple tickets to the Toronto Golf and Travel Show, February 24th to 26th at the International Center, we'll give you that chance, and we'll hear from one of the exhibitors when we come back on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by the Toronto Golf and Travel Show, February 24th to 26th at the International Center in Mississauga. For show information, event features, or to purchase tickets, visit torontogolfshow.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. The Toronto Golf and Travel Show, one of the big events on the golf calendar here, certainly when it's still snowing outside, takes place February 24th, 26th at the International Center in Toronto. We have a couple of tickets that we would like to give away. We're going to hear from one of the exhibitors here, a very interesting interview. But we want you to send you there to the show. So here's your question. We want you to, the first correct caller who can tell us who the top Canadian is through 36 holes at the Waste Management. Call us at 416-870-1050. You'll win a couple of tickets to the Toronto Golf and Travel Show. At that show, there is going to be an exhibit from a company called Golf in Sim, and they are producing some really remarkable golf simulators. And Mark Zucchino had a chance to go one-on-one with one of the key people at that company, Tim Trombley. Let's hear that interview right now.
Joining me now from Golf In, which is a simulator company, Golf In Simulators. The website is golfinsim.com, is Tim Trombley. And Tim will be at the Toronto Golf Show February 24th to 26th at the International Center in Mississauga. Tim, thanks for taking the time to do this. Let's just jump right in. What's the difference right now in the simulator world, in the Golf In product? How far has this come in the last few years from going back a decade ago and that experience to where we are today playing golf indoors?
Well, the advantage that we have is that the owner of Golf In, Carl Fortin, is a CPGA professional, and he's endeavored to make these simulators the most accurate simulators for indoor golf, basically in North America and perhaps the world. We are the most accurate simulators when it comes to putting and chipping, which has been a key frustration for most people when they've gone out to indoor golfing facilities in years past. Typically, they would only be able to use their woods and irons and then have to basically estimate the putts when they're on the green and when they would chip. Sometimes the thing would fly 100 yards when they only chipped at 10 yards. So we, with Carl, he's really endeavored to make sure that this is a product that allows a person to not leave any club in their bag.
Now, Tim, how do you do that? Is it through a software that you guys have access to, or how do you make it as accurate as it is?
Well, we use the TrueTrack software the E6 software and the TrueTrack tracking system, but we place the optical sensors in the ground, and we have a flat floor that allows us to put it correctly. And then you're not chipping over some of the ones that utilize the TrueTrack. You actually have to chip over the projector, which is on the floor, whereas we elevate the projector above the golfer and thus creating a true putting experience where you're putting it go up to 10 feet to the screen. And then you're able to make sure that you get all aspects of your game in.
Now, you guys do residential and commercial. How much of a rise have you seen in residential over the years? I know, you know, back in the day, obviously commercial business, and there was a lot of golf simulation companies opening up all over the country, especially here in Southern Ontario. We've seen quite a pop in the last half a dozen years. But is the residential market look a lot different now than it used to?
Yeah, the residential, you know, generally you're looking at, you know, a dozen or more every year from our company. I'm not sure about other simulator companies. Obviously, you know, the cost is a little restrictive sometimes when it comes to the residential product. But the one advantage we have on the commercial side of things is we've been able to launch a Zone Golf In program that puts our simulators into commercial settings with no capital investment. But now we have so many locations across Ontario, Quebec, that potential residential clients can get out and actually try our sims before looking to purchase them.
So where in Southern Ontario would we find your product if one of our listeners wanted to go out and play on one of your systems? What would be one of your big partners?
We have Sawmill Creek in the Kamalashi, Ontario, near Sarnia. We have Peninsula Lakes in Niagara, as well as Legends, Lionhead Golf Club. Also, we have Fox Bridge Golf Club up in Uxbridge. And we are very shortly opening another one in Mississauga that they are turning an old restaurant into a VR-type restaurant bar.
Now, before we let you go, Tim, just out of curiosity, golf in simulators, if someone wanted to put one in their house, what are the variety of options? What are the price points? What do they start at? And how compact the unit can you do? Because I know, obviously, someone who has a ton of space isn't worried about like that, but if someone just has the type of clearance to swing a golf club, is it still doable for them?
Yes, we have a compact model that starts at $25,000, and these can actually be installed by the client themselves. It installs in between 2 to 3 hours. So we ship it out into in a box that goes directly to the customer's home. And then they, you know, get a friend to come over and put the unit together. And the nice thing about our product is whether it's our compact unit all the way up to our full select, the only thing that changes is the size. The structure is exactly the same. The software is the same, and the quality of the tracking system is exactly the same with the swing analysis system included.
That's great. So they get the full benefit in terms of the accuracy and playability that you would, say, at a Lionhead Golf Club in their own basement, regardless of the size. Tim, thanks so much for taking the time to do this. You'll be at the Golf Show, Toronto Golf Show, February 24th to 26th. It's golfinsim.com, golfinsim.com. If you're thinking about it as a commercial option, if you're a golf pro looking to bring it into your pro shop or clubhouse for the winter for your members, or you're like me and just could imagine having one of these things in the basement and licking your chops, go see Tim at the Toronto Golf Show. Tim, thanks for doing this.
Not a problem. Thanks, Mark.
And there is Mark Sacchino talking with Tim Tremblay of Golf in Simulators, one of the exhibitors at the Toronto Golf and Travel Show coming up, as Mark said, February 24th, 26th. That's approaching quick. At the International Center, for after a number of years they were downtown, they've moved out to the International Center. I think it's actually a really good venue out there. Lots of room for pre-parking and everything, so it's good. We just gave away two tickets to that. You can listen next week and give. We'll be giving away a couple more, but the winner this week was Tony McLaughlin, and Tony knew that right now Graham Dillette is the top Canadian so far at the Waste Management Phoenix Open. That is it for this edition of Golf Talk Canada. We have a lot of good shows coming up in the next few weeks. Mark Sacchino, however, is not going to be here for them. Maybe that's what makes them great. He's going to be down. He's going to be down in St. Kitts. I'm just teasing. With one of our newest sponsors, he's playing down there in the sunshine. So we will be venturing on with him on the phone and continuing on to talk about that. Again, two more rounds to go. Waste Management, the great 16th hole there. Tournament times will be a little bit earlier tomorrow, don't forget, because of Super Bowl Sunday. So we'll see if the players can get finished just perfectly before kickoff. That's usually what they imagine they allow themselves to do. Lots of golf going on there. Graham Dillette is currently tied for 11th place. Adam Hadwin tied for 21st. Can they move up? Can they get themselves into the mix and perhaps take a run at their first PGA Tour victories? We'll talk about that and a lot more golf next week on Golf Talk Canada. Thanks for listening, everybody.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by the Toronto Golf and Travel Show, February 24th to 26th at the International Center in Mississauga. For show information, event features, or to purchase tickets, visit torontogolfshow.com. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at golftalkcanada.ca.